Now, today we are talking about power praise. For all of you note takers, why don't you write that down right now? Power praise. Power praise. We're going to do some praising soon. We've got three main scriptures and then 3 points. So it is vital for us as believers to be praising God all the time. Because, hey, He deserves it. God Almighty is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of it. And when we praise God, it takes us out of one world and it's like it transports us into the next. It takes us from the natural realm into the realm of the Spirit. How good is that? Into the presence of God. And corporate worship is a powerful time when we all journey into the presence of God together. So we're not just singing songs. We are going somewhere, right into the presence of God. His presence is always the goal and the destination, because that is where we are changed to be like Him, in His presence. And in His presence is fullness of joy. That is so where we want to be. And if you just want to sing songs, that's nice, but you could join the municipal choir or something. But, you know, here in church, there's a purpose behind our singing. We are purpose-driven and we want to sing songs to glorify God, to praise Him, to get in to the presence of God. Because we don't just want to know about God, we actually want to know God. We want to experience Him. And this happens when we have an encounter with Him. To break through from the natural realm into the spirit realm takes some power. And that's why I'm talking about power praise today. That's why we have the fast songs. That's why we have the full band with the full sound. And we are wanting to press in to the presence of God. We have to push past the natural and get in to the spirit. It takes some power. So we can't skip that stage. We can't skip the fast song stage. It's vital. It's all about declaration. We are prophetically declaring stuff. We are doing spiritual warfare. When we clap our hands, when we move our bodies, it's part of it. It's part of singing it. We open our mouths in faith and we declare out of our hearts, it comes out of our mouth. We declare who He is. This is how we are to come before the throne and enter His courts. So I'm going to read Psalm 100 to you, which is the awesome classic praise and worship scripture, and it prescribes for us how we can come in and minister to God. So here's Psalm 100, first 4 verses. Shout for joy to the Lord of the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs, not depressing songs, not country and western mournful, melancholic songs. Joyful songs! Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. So praise is the gateway into the presence of God. Praise is never passive. Praise is always loud and bold. Praise proclaims and declares the power and the goodness of God. We are in a spiritual battle. And the power of praise brings the presence of God down to be with us. Because praise is a powerful spiritual weapon. So I want to encourage you, and I've said this before, but it was a few years ago. The first 2 songs at church do matter. They matter. It's really important to be here on time and not think, oh, it's just the singing. It's just the first 2 songs. Doesn't matter. It matters. It matters because the praise songs, the power praise, that's what breaks us through the natural realm into the spirit realm, into the presence of God. The praise songs are important. So you need to be here for the first 2 songs. Tell the person next to you, don't miss the first 2 songs. We all need to be here for the power praise. Like in the scripture we just read out, verse 2 in Psalm 100, it says, come before Him with joyful songs. So the Lord here is telling us how to praise Him. We praise Him, we bring our praise to Him with joyful songs. Regardless of how you sound, we are to praise Him with joyful songs. Not only if you sound like Bruno Mars, all of us Some of the older ones are going, how does Bruno Mars? Not only if you sound like Barry Manilow for all the over 60s, for all of us. It's for all of us. Everybody can praise the Lord. From a little kid who can't even sing and tune to a tone-deaf granny, we can all praise the Lord because God loves the sound of your voice praising him. He loves it. And he's listening out for the distinctive sound of your voice this morning, every morning. When we praise the Lord, it decentralizes us and it centralizes God. Did you know that you are hardwired by God to bring him praise? We have been created to give him praise and worship. Every human has been created to worship, to bring praise and worship to God. And guess what? If we don't praise the Lord, we will end up praising something. If we don't worship Jesus, we will end up worshiping something or someone. Because this is how people are created. Have you ever noticed animals don't worship because they don't have a spirit? Only people worship because we are made in the image of God, and God is spirit. So we worship him in spirit and in truth. We are a spirit. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. God is spirit. We don't see animals worshiping. Have you ever seen your wee pet piggy lift his trotters and oink and worship? No. Does your guinea pig, when you get up in the morning, look out in the lawn, there's a little altar the guinea pig's built, offering sacrifices and burnt offerings to some deity, to that giant guinea pig in the sky? No, it doesn't happen. Animals don't worship, but people groups all over the world, past and present, have always worshipped some kind of God because that is how we have been wired to bring our praise to the Lord. Just as reading the word is like eating spiritual food, so praising God, praising and worshipping him is like drinking. And in the praise and worship here at church, the corporate praise and worship, it's so powerful. Your spirit is being hydrated. Being hydrated. And even when you worship God at home or in your car and you're singing to the Lord, your spirit is being hydrated. But there are too many dehydrated Christians walking around because we have not bothered to get rehydrated in the presence of God in praise and worship. And we need to get into the praise, into the power praise, to be refreshed and hydrated by the Holy Spirit. Because if we're dehydrated, we know what happens. It's not pretty. If you're dehydrated, you get a headache. You even become disoriented. You get bad breath. Turn to the person next to you and say, you get bad breath. No, don't say it too forcefully. And you get grumpy. And we can get like this in our spirit too. Grumpy. And stinky. And people don't want to be around us. And we're not sure why. We need to stop and have a drink and drink deeply of the Spirit of God as we praise him and worship him. I love the Psalms. It's our songbook of worship. Psalm 149 verse 5 tells us as believers to sing aloud on our beds. Who likes singing aloud on their bed? Doesn't matter if you wake up your spouse. I figure he wakes me up snoring. I'm going to wake him up singing. It's all even. Sing aloud on your bed. The Psalms say to make a joyful noise to the Lord, even if it's not a tuneful one. We may not give you a microphone, but you can still sing praises to God. And we know that just the act of singing lifts our mood and our emotions. Here's a quote by an author, Alan Loy McGinnis. He's a counselor and an author, and he wrote a book called The Power of Optimism. And he said, singing reinforces one's beliefs. Singing reinforces one's beliefs. So when we sing to the Lord about what we believe, it reinforces our beliefs. And singing praises to God lifts our spirit and reinforces our love for him and our belief in him. Now, some people they really do not like to sing. I won't ask for a show of hands. But some people think, well, you know, I just don't like singing. And you do 20, 25 minutes of it here at City Church. And I just don't sound good. I don't want people to hear me. But who's it for? It's not for the people around us. It's for an audience of one. It's for the Lord Almighty. And we have our music quite loud, so you don't even have to hear yourself, let alone the person next to you. You know, it can just be for God. They are for the Lord, our praises. And singing to him actually helps us love him. And the singing part helps us to praise him and worship him. Praise is a totally legal, legit, mood-enhancing, elevating drink. It changes our perspective. It makes us feel good. It makes us feel better. It lifts us. And you may not be much of a singer, but God still wants you to use your voice, your instrument, to declare his praise. Okay, we're going to the second scripture now. Are you ready? Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. I want to hit this. And I love this scripture. It's on the toilet door in my bathroom. You know it probably. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. And here it is, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Or in, I think it's the King James, instead of the spirit of heaviness. A garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So the Lord has given us the answer, the antidote to feeling down, to a spirit of heaviness, is to put on a garment of praise, to put it on. And this scripture was quoted by Jesus in Luke 4. And he said, it's all about me. He read this whole portion. And then they've quoted a bit of it in Luke 4. So Jesus has come to give us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. God has given us the remedy here for being down in the dumps because he made us emotionally. He knows we get down sometimes, and that's fine. That's not a sin, and there's reasons for it. And all through the book of Psalms, we see David got down sometimes in his spirit, but then he lifted himself back up. He said, but yet will I praise the Lord, after he had had a time of expressing his pain. So if we are feeling down, we can be lifted by praising God. This is God's answer here. When we start praising God, the heaviness goes, it can't stay. And the devil hates us praising God. He hates listening to it. He hates it. He's not going to stick around for that. He doesn't stick around when we start praising God. He can't stand to listen to us praising God. So if we start praising God, his attack is going to stop and he's going to move away from us. Sometimes I'd come to church in the morning after a hard night at youth, because Alan and I used to lead youth for over 10 years, and we had Tuesday night and Saturday night. Not just one night, we had two nights every week. Plus, we were both working full-time jobs, and it was awesome, and we loved it. But sometimes by Sunday morning, I'd come into church, and we're like, oh. And we were also both of us on the worship team, so we were often here really early. And sometimes I'd just have a headache before church started. But do you know what? Every time in the praise and worship, it would lift off, because sickness cannot stand in the presence of God. The presence of God comes and the devil has to leave. The presence of God comes and sickness has to leave. So we can have a bad week and we can think, well, I've had a sucky week and I don't feel like praising God. But our feelings are in the soul realm and our soul needs to submit to our spirit and do what it is told. We are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. So if we live out of our feelings, we are immature Christians. Maturity is always living in alignment, submitted to the Holy Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit is in charge. And then it's us, spirit, soul, body. Our spirit always wants to praise God. Our soul and our body need to submit to our spirit and obey its leading. So we get up in the morning early because our spirit wants to meet with God. And our spirit says, I will praise God. But the soul goes, oh, I don't feel like it. This is our thoughts and our emotions. But then your spirit says, shut up, soul. It's not all about you anyway. Just do it. Just praise him anyway. But then your body chimes in, well, I'm tired and I've got a sore leg from the gym the other day. I overdid it. But your spirit's in charge. Your spirit says, shut up, you lazy so-and-so. Get up and get moving, body. You will praise the Lord. Because we live out of our spirit. We live in alignment. Our spirit needs to be in charge. Let's decide not to live out of our soul, our feelings, but to live out of our spirit. and we choose, every day we choose, I will put on the garment of praise. That is what's going to dispel the heaviness. That is what's going to dispel those negative feelings when we put on the garment of praise. But the thing is, for a garment to give you any use, you actually have to decide to put it on. It's no use to you if it's just hanging there on the coat hanger, looking pretty. Unless you're actually wearing it, you're not getting any use out of it at all. Unless you're actually wearing it, it's not covering your nakedness. It's not keeping you warm. It's just hanging over there on the coat hanger. We have to decide. Sure, I'm not feeling great. Sure, there's this difficult situation I'm walking through, but I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to stay feeling down and heavy. I'm going to get up and I'm going to grab that garment of praise and I'm going to put it on and I'm going to choose to bring my power praise to the Lord. It's an act of faith. And as we start singing out his praise and declaring who he is and his goodness in our lives, then we are actually prophesying and enabling him to open up stuff for us. But we can't put on our garment of praise if we're already wearing something else. And that is the garment of self-pity. And I've talked about this a few years ago, but I really felt like I needed to hit this again, the self-pity deal today. Because many of us wear this garment regularly and we don't even know we're doing it. We don't even know we're wearing it because we've been wearing it so long. It's kind of morphed into our skin and become part of us, and we need to take it off. It's like when something negative happens to us and we're disappointed and we feel down and we feel heavy. So we reach for that garment of self-pity again. I knew this would happen to me. Bad things always happen to me. Bad things actually happen to my whole family. I think I'm a loser and I think my whole family are losers. And I'll probably always be poor. I'll probably be single forever. And I don't think I'm ever going to get a job. I'm just going to be permanently unemployed in Greenland. And we like the garment of self-pity because it reinforces our victim mentality. And we start singing sad songs like, all by myself, don't want to be. And then we have permission. The music's joining in. And instead of focusing on God and singing praises to him, we sing about our sad, sorry life. And then we have permission to do what we really want to do, and that is indulge ourselves by feeling sorry for ourselves and wallowing in self-pity. But I love what Pastor James always said, when you have a pity party, only two people come, you and the devil. So you don't want to have a pity party. And self-pity and faith cannot coexist. That's what Pastor Phil Pringle says. Self-pity and faith cannot coexist. What's it going to be? Are we going to stay in faith or are we going to stay in self-pity? We can't have both. So this garment of self-pity is a horrid old thing. It is not an attractive piece of clothing at all. It is excusable on preschoolers, but really as an adult, we shouldn't be wearing it. In fact, when we do wear it, people notice and they stay away from us. Oh my goodness, can you believe what she's wearing? Ah, self-pity, oh. The garment of self-pity repels other people from us. It is actually impossible to wear the garment of self-pity and the garment of praise at the same time. And I believe that God says to us, even today, it's time to take off that horrible old garment of self-pity once and for all. It is ugly. It stinks. It looks horrible on you. Makes you look like a sack of spuds. It doesn't suit you. It's too small for you. It's childish. You have outgrown it. So take it off. And don't even give it to the op shop. Burn that thing. I have a garment for you that I want you to wear. It is the garment of praise. The colors are beautiful and it really suits you. It looks so good on you and it fits you so well. And when you wear it, others are drawn to you and want to be around you. Will you put it on today? I've made it just for you. So today, which one are we going to choose to wear? The garment of praise? Or the garment of self-pity? We, the people of God, are the ones called to give him praise. And if we don't praise him, who else is going to? Acts 16. Now, this is my main text. Here we go. Acts 16, verse 16. Why don't you turn to it now? I'm going to read it out to you in the NIV. Acts 16. I love the book of Acts. The book of Acts is my favorite New Testament book, and the book of Psalms is my favorite Old Testament book. Acts 16, I'm going to read to you here. This is Philippi. Lydia's just got saved. Paul and Silas are preaching the gospel. Here we go. Once we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God." That's my demon voice. "Who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of here." At that moment, the spirit left. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas. Seized them! And they dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in an inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, this is the key verse, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. And then we can read on and hear how the magistrates came and begged Paul to leave. But that's we don't quite have time to read all of that. So here we have Paul and Silas in a whole lot of pain. They've been beaten with rods just for casting a demon out of someone. And verse 23 said they had many stripes, the King James Version says. And in the NIV it says they were severely flogged. The Jews had a limit of 39 lashes, but the Romans had no such limits. And they were put into the inner prison, which is the dungeon, basically. And their feet were put in stocks. Now, the Roman stocks were actually constructed so wide apart that they would stretch your legs and bruise your feet in order just to inflict more pain. Now, note the Roman authorities didn't just whip them and release them. Perhaps they intended to execute them the next day. We don't know. But this may indeed have been death row for Paul and Silas. It would have been cold and damp and dark and dirty in that inner prison, in that dungeon. Yet what do we hear? What do we hear coming from these guys? Not cursing or swearing. Not whining or complaining. We hear Paul. This is the day that the Lord has made. Come on, Silas, bring a harmony. We will rejoice. We will. Can you believe it? Oh my goodness. In their darkest hour, when they had no way out, they praised God. In terrible pain, with even their very lives under threat, they sang to God. Psalm 42 verse 8 talks about God giving us songs in the night. I love this quote by Spurgeon. Any fool can sing in the day. It's easy to sing when we can read the words by daylight. But the skillful singer is the one who can sing when there is not a ray of light to read by. So Paul already knew how to praise God. He had a daily habit of thanking God. We see this from the epistles he wrote. It was his default setting. He was the one who wrote the words in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Give thanks in all things." He actually also wrote "Endure hardship" three times, twice to Timothy and once to Titus. It was his way of saying, suck it up, endure hardship, just keep praising God and carry on. When the pressure came on, Paul knew how to change gears into praise. He knew how to shift his spirit from fear into faith. We need to know how to do that. It's important. Paul could make that shift. He'd done it daily. It had become a lifelong habit for him. Now, we also know that David in the Old Testament knew how to shift his spirit from fear to faith because he had done it daily also. And it had been a lifelong habit for him. And we know because we have his devotional record right here, 150 songs or psalms. These were love songs David wrote and sang to the Lord. So when David got home from work one day and his whole town was burned, the town of Ziklag, and his wife and kids were kidnapped, and his house was burnt down, and then even his own team, his own guy, started turning against him and threatening to kill him, David knew what to do. He encouraged himself in the Lord, and it lifted him. And then he could hear from God, and God downloaded a strategy for victory to him. Now, if David had started feeling sorry for himself and got into self-pity right there, all would have been lost. But because one guy, David, decided to shift from fear to faith, decided to shift from self-pity into praise and into thanking God and encouraging himself in the Lord, and God's going to work this out, I know he's going to make a way, then he could hear from God. And then he got a strategy for victory. It was amazing. And he went after the enemy and not only recovered all and got his wife and kids back and everyone else's wife and kids back, but he was greatly enriched through the plunder of the enemy. So what looked like his worst day ever, God turned it around and made it his best day ever. We have to know how to shift ourselves from fear into faith, from self-pity into praise. It is a habit. And unless we do it every day, in the good times, praising God, then we won't know how to do it when the crisis hits. We want praise to be our default setting, but unless we're praising God daily, when the crisis comes, it won't be our default setting unless we're doing it daily. Otherwise, we'll just go back to our normal default setting, self-pity, and we'll do what we've always done, sing sad country and western songs about poor me. Don't break my heart, my achy, breaky, or something like that. Psalm 34. Verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. All times. Not just good times, but at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Continually. Every day, regardless of what's happening, regardless of whether it's good, bad, or ugly, regardless of the circumstances, I will praise the Lord at all times. Say all times. I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my lips. At all times, not just in the good times, when it's summer and it's the weekend and we're with our friends and we just won 30 bucks on our scratchy. At all times. He is worthy of our praise regardless of what is going on in our lives. When I faced a scary situation a few years back, it was something I'd never faced before and I didn't know what to do. But I thank God the Holy Spirit is our coach. He's our comforter, the one who comes alongside. And he was right there coaching me. The first thing he said is don't go into grief. And then the second thing he did was he gave me four faith scriptures to declare aloud every day and prophesy into the situation. And I felt to personalize them. So I was putting names of people into the scriptures. He also gave me a song. It wasn't a song I wrote. It was a song that came out at the time about the goodness of God. And that song, I would put it on YouTube every day and it would minister to me and I'd just stand there and I'd be crying in the presence of God. But it was like declaring his goodness into the situation. He will help us to do this. And these scriptures he gave me were prophetic. And as I declared them, I just found myself going into praise afterwards and thanking God for the answers he had that I couldn't see yet, but I knew were coming. Because he's always doing more behind our back than he is in front of our face. He's always doing more when we're asleep than he is while we're awake. And because he gave me this strategy by praising him, by proclaiming aloud faith scriptures and prophesying the outcome and singing this song of praise about the goodness of God, peace came to me. But if I had gone into grief, the battle would have been lost before it even started. We must learn to use our voice as a weapon of warfare by lifting it to praise God, whether we feel like it or we don't. Now, I'm not saying don't grieve. Of course we grieve when there is loss. But in a situation where you think there's going to be loss, but you don't know, you're tempted to go there already into grief. But that's when the Lord is saying, stand firm in faith and start to praise me. Matthew 12, 34b, Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Romans 10, verse 10 says, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So the reality is, what is in our heart will come out our mouth. We can tell what someone truly believes by listening to them. Do we truly believe that God is good? Do we truly believe that he loves us? Do we truly believe that he is working all things together for our good? If yes, then we'll have no problem saying so with volume, with our power, praise. And in the last few minutes, I've just got three quick points. Number one, we see from Acts 16, praise brings freedom. Praise brings freedom. Paul and Silas had a captive audience, we know that, but they chose to praise and they sang out some songs and people were listening. I'm sure they didn't feel like singing. They were covered in blood and bruises and probably broken ribs. They were in a bad spot. I'm sure they felt physically and emotionally low. Have you ever been there? Paul and Silas were there. They were in a terrible situation with no foreseeable way out, no way of escape. And at that moment, they looked to God for deliverance, God who can do everything. And when they could have been trying to catch up on some sleep, try and get a bit of rest, they decided to have a prayer meeting. And they thought they'd throw in a worship song too. And they, when they began to sing to God, it got God's attention. When they began to praise the Lord, God changed everything. When they opened their mouths in faith and started to sing, something shifted in the spirit realm. What held them captive was literally shifted by God. And as they started singing and praising, who knows, maybe the Lord joined in the song. As they started there, this is the day, this is that. Maybe the Lord thought, I like that one, I wrote it. And he started singing along and tapping his foot, that the Lord has made. And then maybe when he started tapping his foot, that's what made the earthquake. That's what sent an earthquake to the Middle East, I don't know. But there was an earthquake. It was a miracle right there. And this earthquake shook the prison and all the chains broke off as they sang. And praise God, the prison that held them was opened up and they were free. And not only them, but all the others in the prison also. Their oppression was broken and they were loosed from bondage because praise brings freedom. As they started to praise the Lord, they realized, wow, God wants to set us free. And he so does. He so does. And not only us, other people around us too. Praise is a key that unlocks our freedom. As you start to praise God, it will change your atmosphere in your home. Your kids will be set free too. Provides an atmosphere of praise and faith, not an atmosphere of fear and self-pity and worry. These things are more caught than taught. How do we get kids full of faith? We get praising the Lord. We put the praise and worship music on early in the morning. We start by setting the tone in our home. Well, if they hear us singing to the Lord and praising the Lord, they'll do that too. It's amazing. And as they praised, the chains of fear fell off them. Chains of, literal chains for them, but often we have chains of fear and worry. These chains hold us down. They're invisible, but they're real. They render us immovable, immobile. We can't move because we're held by these chains of fear and worry. And what if I have a go and I fail? But Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, not at the hour of prayer, but at the midnight hour. Not in the house of God, but even in a prison. And they sang so loud that even though they were in the inner prison, other prisoners heard. We've got to praise God loudly with a bit of volume, not with an apologetic tone, but with volume so the devil can hear it. Psalm 98 verse 4 says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy. Psalm 150 verse 5 says, praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Do you know, even Jesus himself shouts when he comes back again. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. We better get used to giving God some loud praise now while we're here. Otherwise, we might not like it when we get to heaven and it's loud. It would be really embarrassing to be going, turn it down, if we get to heaven. Maybe they have earplugs in heaven like we have here at the information desk, I'm not sure. We can lift our own spirit when we sing and shout to God. Paul and Silas had a choice right there. Self-pity, woe is me, we're all going to die, or singing some power praise to God. It took faith to praise the Lord at that moment. But I think Paul probably had a habit of praising God. It's a good habit to have. I remember when I first met Alan and we started going out and we got married, I felt like I'd married into the royal family because Pastor James and Mary were like the pastors of the church and I'm just a sinner from a farm. And then I remember James, he would always just like walk around the house yelling in tongues like, Shakariyadabada! And it was just so awesome. I loved it. And actually, my flatmate, Sue, when we'd got saved, I went flatting with her and another girl, and then there was another one, there were three, and then four of us. And she used to do the same thing. She'd walk around the house and yell in tongues. Man, it's liberating. You should try it sometime if it's not a habit of yours. It's so awesome. But we've got to create a strong habit of praising God every day in song. Number two, praise brings fruit. Others were listening to them. Praise brings freedom. Praise brings fruit. They were listening to them praising God in their darkest hour. The jailer awoke and he and his family were all born again. When we praise God, miracles are released. People can be awakened from sleep to salvation. Like this guy, they get up and they get saved. And his whole family was saved and baptized as a result of Paul and Silas's promises. This guy was suicidal, but he went from suicidal to saved in 1 minute. The jailer shut the door of the prison on Paul, but Paul opened the door of salvation to the jailer. And maybe some of the prisoners got saved too. We don't know. It's not recorded here, but they certainly did hear about Jesus through Paul and Silas's songs. And they sure did experience the power of God turning up and loosing them from their chains. Praise is a mighty weapon against the enemy, if the band could come, please. And God responds to our praises. Our songs of praise go up to heaven like incense, and he responds to them and brings down fruit, which glorifies him. He responds and intervenes in our circumstances. And the last one, number three, praise brings vindication. And if we read on from verse 35 onwards, we see Paul and Silas were cleared of all charges. They were set free from prison. Their reputations were restored overnight. Their integrity prevailed. And the reputation of the gospel was untarnished. They were vindicated because they praised God in their darkest hour. When we praise God in our darkest hour, God goes to work on our behalf. He can sort out the tricky stuff. He can do it fast. He can restore us completely. They were not only got off death row, they were completely exonerated and were set free to go. And they went on their merry way and preached the gospel in the next town. God can quickly work things out and bring about our vindication for us when we choose to praise him.